You're listening to the Judicial Watch weekly update with Tom Fitton.
Hey everyone, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton here with our weekly update on social media. Thank you as always for joining us. So much going on. We had a big Supreme Court oral argument this week about presidential immunity. It looks like it's going to go very well for President Trump, but who knows? Plus, President Trump continues to be tortured up in New York by Democratic Party politicians through that show trial. I'll give you an update on that. Plus, we've got this communist revolution in full swing here in the United States on our college campuses. I'll give you the latest on that escalating crisis. But, and of course, Judicial Watch continues to do the heavy lifting in court. We've got litigation over the targeting of Trump and the cover-ups for Biden, which is really the story of the Biden administration, isn't it? But a lot going on this week as it relates to the rule of law and government corruption. I want to first start with the real threat to the rule of law, which is the threat to the personal freedom of President Trump as a result of this show trial in New York. Now, we're right in the middle of the trial in the sense that there's been a testimony by the former National Enquirer publisher or editor, Mr. Peck, who testified to wanting to, happily, going out and getting the rights to stories and not publishing them because he's a friend of Donald Trump's. And he used to do that for a bunch of other people he was friends with. And somehow that's been transmogrified by the abusers up in New York, the Democratic politician Bragg, his office, and the Democratic politician Merchant, who's allowing this garbage to come into court, to suggest that he's done something wrong or illegal as it relates to federal elections because he was managing press, or people around Trump was managing press stories about him. And I don't understand what the whole point of it is, other than just to get the jury all agitated about gossipy, salacious stories related to Trump. And what's really incredible is there's no detail that I can tell yet, and I talked about this on C-SPAN this morning, about what Trump did wrong. I mean, we have these allegations of him putting in false information into the ledgers. As I call it, he's being prosecuted for writing legal expense or describing a legal expense as a legal expense. But in order for that to be in court right now, they have to suggest it was in furtherance of a felony. And they haven't talked about what that felony is. They've raised all sorts of laws, but who the heck knows what they're pursuing? Certainly, it's not a felony related to federal elections because the law doesn't require the reporting they're suggesting. I mean, under their theory of the law, every candidate who works with a reporter, a friendly reporter or media organization, managing stories can be prosecuted. I mean, I think I tweeted something like this. Well, this is about the testimony and the outrageousness of the made up new standards for Trump. An MSNBC fever dream of a trial. Testimony focuses on whether the National Enquirer was helping Trump get elected by publishing positive stories for him. No word on when Democratic presidents will be prosecuted for collusion with MSNBC, ABC, CNN, New York Times, AP, CBS, Washington Post, you know, the media org. And of course, I say defund NPR. As you know, NPR has been in the news. I hope you've known that NPR has been in the news over a whistleblower highlighting their bias and anti-Trump corruption and partisanship. On top of that, you've had a real dangerous development in the last few days. And that is the announcement, I think it happened shortly after our last update, the announcement by Benny Thompson, who ran the January 6th Rump Committee for Nancy Pelosi, that ridiculous January 6th committee, that he is proposing legislation in the House of Representatives to deny Secret Service protection to President Trump if he's convicted I think for a felony of over a year and sent to prison. Now, it's written in a way that in theory would apply to people other than President Trump, but the description of the legislation and the whole context is this is a get Trump piece of legislation, and in a legislation that, if implemented, would get President Trump killed. If it goes the way they anticipate it going, which is that he goes to jail and is denied Secret Service protection. So the thinking of the Democrats is, we'll get Merchan to put Trump in jail in Rikers Island or a similarly unsafe location in New York City, and then we'll take away Secret Service protection, which would be a death sentence for Trump. So they not only want to make him a political prisoner, but they also want to turn him, I mean, make him dead. I don't know how else to put it. And there's no, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise, and anyone who pretends otherwise doesn't deserve your attention. And I'm outraged about it, and I talked about it in a weekly, not a weekly update, but in a quick piece we did earlier this week. Let's run that video.
Hey everyone, disturbing news out of DC these past few days. It looks like the Democrats want to try to get Trump killed. A leading Democrat in the House, Benny Thompson, who ran Nancy Pelosi's January 6th witch hunt, just offered legislation that would have the effect of removing Secret Service protection from Donald Trump if he's sent to prison, whether it be a state or federal facility. It's pretty clear now, in addition to making him a political prisoner, which has long been their goal, they want to get him killed if he's made a political prisoner. I tell you, if politicians don't denounce that, I don't know where this country's going to be. And it's up to all members of Congress to say no to this, certainly in the short term. And of course, you can share your views by calling 202-225-3121 and asking to speak to your elected representatives here in Washington, D.C. Our country's on the line.
And I was ringing the bell over on Fox Business earlier this week with Maria Bartiromo. Let's go to that tape. It's not just about putting him in jail or harassing him through this process. They're now threatening his life. You had Benny Thompson, a leading Democrat in the House last week, say they should take away the Secret Service protection. And the bill is targeted at Trump if he's convicted. So they want to get him killed if he's convicted. Is that the new Democratic mantra here? And I hope the Supreme Court, when they're considering presidential immunity, takes a look at what the Democrats are planning to do here, which is to deny the president Secret Service protection if he's convicted and place his life at risk. Yeah, I mean, this is pretty darn serious. And they may not even, putting him in jail is such a security issue anyway. And of course, that's the goal here, in my view, is to put him away even before he's convicted by jailing him for violating these anti-constitutional, anti-First Amendment gag order that Merchan, the Democrat Biden donor, has imposed on Trump. And I talked about that a little bit with Maria Bartiromo, where I talked about the trial generally with her as well.
We can expect Bragg, according to the New York Times, to relitigate the 2016 election. His whole theory is that Trump stole the election. So he's denying, all of a sudden, it's okay to deny election outcomes by suggesting that by President Trump or people around him deeming a legal expense money paid to settle a legal dispute, he committed a crime and therefore should be put in jail for violating also federal election law in 2016. Just incredible that it's being done. Obviously, he can't enforce federal election law. And as far as I'm concerned, this isn't about what Avenatti is going to say or what anyone is going to say. This is a show trial. The purpose of this is to keep the president effectively a political hostage, stuck in that courtroom while President Biden is able to go around campaigning with no opposition for the next several weeks. We already saw that last week in Pennsylvania. Biden spent 3 days in Pennsylvania while his Democratic political allies and a donor to him on the bench kept Trump in that trial for no good reason. This should be in the least delayed. Obviously, it should never have proceeded anywhere as far as it's gotten thus far. But the idea that this is taking place in the middle of an election year is an abomination.
Well, you can see why the left hates us at Judicial Watch, because we go on TV shows like that and tell the truth. I agree with me there. You know, I don't get nervous about seeing myself on TV the way other people do. I look at it as kind of like, oh, I agree with that guy, and I'm glad he's saying it. And I'm sure you agree with me as well. It's important we tell the truth about that. We've got this wild abuse targeting Trump, and they want to get him killed. So I'm concerned about the president's safety, and frankly, even talking about removing Secret Service protection from him is dangerous. Because obviously folks like us who are paying attention recognize he still has the Secret Service protection, but someone who's barely following the news, you could get some nut job thinking, oh, there's no Secret Service protection anymore, and then go after him. And I'd like to know where the Republicans in Congress are on this. Where's the leadership? I mean, they haven't stopped the funding of any of this. There's been little to no commentary on this Bragg trial. Maybe I missed it, you know. But I tell you, if I've missed it, it means there's been nothing. Because I do try to track this stuff relatively carefully. And if it isn't getting on my radar, it means it's not being done, practically speaking, and certainly not getting on the radar of average Americans who rightfully sometimes pay even less attention to politics than I do and these policy debates. I mean, why aren't Republicans, for instance, up in New York attending the trial to support Trump? I tell you, if Bragg were a Republican doing something similar to the Democrat nominee for the president, and Democrats controlled the House of Representatives, Mr. Bragg would need, I told this to Benny Johnson this morning, Bragg would need an apartment here in D.C. because he'd be before the Congress so often. And everyone he talked to about the prosecution would also be subject to congressional scrutiny, among other things. So hopefully the trial just implodes on its own, under its own weight, and that Trump is never, isn't convicted or acquitted outright, because there could be a hung trial, a hung jury, which would mean they might be able to go back and retry him, or he could get acquitted. But of course, the process is the punishment. They are keeping him held hostage in New York City through this corrupt judicial process. When Mr. Trump, I tweeted his comments on it the other day, and I thought his comment was well worth considering. Highly conflicted, to put it mildly, Judge Juan Merchan has taken away my constitutional right to free speech. Everybody is allowed to talk and lie about me, but I'm not allowed to defend myself. This is a kangaroo court, and the judge should recuse himself. And I think he's absolutely right. But the process isn't working for him up there. And this is what he said more generally. 4 years ago, I was a very successful and popular president of the United States. And in November, went into an election where I received more votes by far than any other sitting president in the history of our country. And he's talking about 2020. Unfortunately, the election was rigged and stolen, and our once great country has quickly become a nation in serious decline. Tomorrow morning, I report to a New York criminal court for a trial on somewhat ironically election interference ruled over by crooked Joe Biden's DOJ before a corrupt and highly conflicted judge, a failed Soros-funded district attorney who didn't want to bring this case, which could have been brought 8 years ago, but wasn't, in an almost completely Democrat district. Virtually every legal scholar and expert says that there is no case, no crime, no nothing. It is a sham that should not have been brought except to try and damage Biden's political opponent, me. See you tomorrow morning. And you know, that's what people are find appealing about Trump, is that he kind of tells the truth in a succinct, most in a direct way. But you know, remember, the guy who, the lawyer, the prosecutor who made the opening argument just 2 years ago was, or 3 years ago, maybe a bit longer, was Joe Biden's appointee to a number three slot, I think, at the Justice Department. And then he slid over to Bragg's office to help him prosecute Trump. So Trump is absolutely right that this is a Democrat operation. I mean, if you have a revolving door between the various prosecutors and communications and such between the Justice Department, the Biden administration, and these local district attorneys, what conclusion otherwise could you draw? And it's worsening. You had new indictments in Arizona of people in Trump world. They avoided Trump directly, but it's kind of a repeat of Fulton County. I put this tweet out, really drove the left crazy. I have to get a little bit closer to read it for you without knocking anything down. Excuse me. I've carefully reviewed the Arizona indictment manufactured by a Democratic Party politician in that state. The indictment, which reads like a Democratic Party press release, is another brazen attack on the God-given civil rights of Democratic Party Biden political opponents in retaliation for lawfully and effectively disputing Biden's controversial election victory under federal, state, and constitutional law. The smearing of Trump and the targeting of Trump's administration officials, election lawyers, and leading Republican Party officials and politicians in Arizona show that Arizona Democratic politician Chris Maez, I think that's how her name is pronounced, turned the grand jury process into a campaign operation to try to ensure a Biden victory in Arizona and nationally. It's now up to the justice system in Arizona to quickly rein in this rogue prosecution. Hopefully, criminal and civil rights investigations eventually will hold accountable all involved in this growing conspiracy by Biden and Democratic Party politicians in New York, Arizona, and Georgia to engage in election interference by depriving Trump and other innocents, including tens of millions of Americans, you, dear listener and viewer, are a victim, of their civil rights under color of law. Never before has this nation seen such an attack on the rule of law as we're seeing with this malicious partisan lawfare. Accordingly, Judicial Watch will continue and expand its historic and independent investigations of this dangerous election interference. There you've got in Arizona, they are prosecuting senior government officials in Arizona, Republican party leaders, legislators. It's obviously political. It's not much better than the Fannie Willis craziness or what's happening up here in Washington, D.C., targeting Trump and others. It's all part of this lawfare. And the next honest president should appoint a special counsel or direct appropriate law enforcement authorities to investigate that attack on our civil rights and the civil rights of Trump and many other innocent Americans. Everyone who's been involved in it should be investigated. So Congress is done for the year, just so you know. It's done. The next big fight in Congress is the end of the budget year, is in September 30th, and they have to have a budget by then, or an omnibus that will continue funding for however long. Do you think they're going to start doing anything substantial at the end of September? They're giving up on impeachment. I mean, I reposted a video. I want to show you the video about the impeachment.
Hey everyone, it looks like the Republicans in the House are about to abandon the impeachment of President Biden. They don't have the votes. The leadership hasn't been pushing for the votes, and certainly House leadership hasn't been educating Americans about the urgent need to impeach President Biden over some of the worst corruption we've ever seen. by a sitting president. This development comes as President Trump faces a show trial on fake criminal charges by the Democratic machine up in New York. A trial commenced, you can be sure, at the behest of the Biden gang. And as that's happening, Joe Biden's getting a free pass from the House Republicans. Really unacceptable. We need the leadership. And of course, voters can still have a say here. So share your views by calling the House at 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121.
So technically, impeachment is still going on. But it's just a lot of noise at this point because the goal is to let it die quietly. And there's a substantial reason to impeach Biden. And Mr. Comer, who's running the House Oversight Committee, got into it with Congressman Raskin, the Democrat from Maryland, who is the Democratic Party point person trying to defend Biden corruption. And I did a watch video for Instagram with it for one of their fights the other day. Here it is.
What do you think about Donald Trump taking more than $5 million from the Chinese government while he was president?
Well, we know that Donald Trump had a legitimate business that he talked about and he campaigned on.
The legitimate business was the White House.
What business,
he sold the White House.
Give me a break.
What
business were the Bidens in? What business did Joe Biden's family own? What business were they in? Did they have hotels? Did they have a social media company? Did they have golf courses? Did they have casinos? Did they have offices?
Well, you know, I appreciate Comer's leadership there and kind of getting to the truth of the matter. But there's a report, I think it was in CNN, that Comer's given up on impeachment. He says it's over. Forget the exact language, but it further confirmed my own analysis based on talking to very senior people on Capitol Hill that it's over. Or it will be over unless voters let them know otherwise. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think we should forget that Joe Biden's a crook. This is some substantial evidence. He's on a take from foreign nationals, foreign governments, Russia, China, Ukraine, you name it. I mean, the list is so long that you have to wonder who he isn't on the take from. That might be a shorter list. Running a RICO operation from his days as a vice president, post-presidency into the presidency? We're supposed to forget that? I'm not going to forget it. And I think he should be held accountable every way the system can hold someone accountable. And that includes impeachment. Yes, I understand that impeachment is unlikely to be acted upon in a fair way by the Senate. But it's not going to be acted on at all if it's not given to the Senate. And there'll be no opportunities to educate more Americans if you shut it down. And you're never going to get the votes for impeachment unless you get the leadership for impeachment from folks like Mike Johnson and the Republican DC class that just wants to move along. Tom, we got to take over in Washington in November, and then we'll really go after them. Huh. You believe that? I don't. I've heard that story a million times. You know, Judicial Watch is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. 30 years. Can you believe it? I've been here, 26 years now. So when it comes to excuses for not pursuing government corruption by members of Congress, I've actually heard ones they haven't used yet again. So I can probably write them all for them because I heard them all. So it's just more of the same. Now they've been doing more investigations, a little more oversight than they've done previously, largely thanks to Judicial Watch because they've been following our lead in terms of being aggressive and pushing for records and oversight, which is good. I'm not going to complain about that. And it's necessary, but is it sufficient? I submit not. I submit not. So next up is, I guess, maybe a good news story. And we need all the good news we can get from Washington, D.C. And that was a Supreme Court argument this week over presidential immunity. Now, for the first time in the history of America, Joe Biden's Justice Department has discovered the ability to prosecute presidents for official acts while in office after they leave office. I don't know why there's a distinction when they're in office versus when they leave office, but that's the distinction they're pretending to make. And they've used that to go after Trump and try to prosecute him for things he did as president of the United States of America by their own admission. So this isn't a dispute that it wasn't really presidential. It was all personal. No, they admit it was presidential. And they've tried to go to the Supreme Court and make that point. And, you know, my view generally here, just to kind of give you what by way of background, the structure of our, people say the president isn't above the law. Of course he's not above the law. But what the left doesn't tell you is what is the law? And the law that governs the operations of the presidency and any immunity he might have flows from the United States Constitution, which in our nation is the supreme law of the land. And the structure of our government makes the president the sole, the sole power on the executive branch in terms of all the executive authority resides in his person. And as a result, the exercise of that executive authority can only be limited through specific constitutional measures that reflect those authorities and the separation of powers. So Congress can't mess with the president's powers that are granted to him by the Constitution. The judiciary can't mess with his powers and police his powers as granted by the Constitution. And it doesn't mean he's a dictator. It just means that they can't come in and say, we're going to start arresting presidents because we don't like his policies. And we're going to gin up violations of law related to policy disputes. Or in the case of Trump, we don't like Trump for disputing the election and exercising his prerogatives as president to pursue the enforcement of federal election law with his Justice Department. And his White House staff. And people say, well, he was running, he wanted to win again. Well, of course, but that's true for every president seeking re-election. Do you think Joe Biden is, I mean, he's had, like, for instance, a series of outrageous, really communistic regulations in the last few weeks. And all observers are highlighting the election year impact of them and why he's doing it. And because there is an election year impact, does that mean if they're illegal or found unconstitutional, he should go to jail? Because he's got this personal interest in doing it? Of course not. So kind of that shows you the, I wouldn't say complexity, but it makes you, makes one think differently about the issue than as it's been explained by the, what I call the Borg media. Now, those of you who don't watch Star Trek, the Borg was an alien race in Star Trek that all fought as one. That's why I keep on calling the left Borg. They all think as one when it comes to these issues. So you don't really get a full picture unless you're watching certain media groups or little old me on Judicial Watch. And you know, my evaluation initially of the Supreme Court argument was as follows. I think I posted, that it's going to be good. Based on the oral arguments, it looks like a strong Supreme Court majority agrees with Trump and is set to vindicate the U.S. Constitution and effectively end the sham criminal cases against Trump by Biden regime and allied Democratic politicians in Georgia. So what's interesting about this case is that if the immunity is recognized, that he can't be prosecuted for official acts as president, then you're not only going to see essentially the January 6th prosecution, where they're trying to put him in jail for disputing Biden's election as president of the United States, that be destroyed. I think the state law claims will be destroyed in Fulton County or thrown out or found wanting. And similarly, you have this fight over presidential records in Florida, where they're trying to put him in jail over a records dispute that they manufactured in a setup to try to put him in jail. And the heart of that dispute is whether records were designated or, you know, what he took, could he take with him when he left the White House? Well, guess what position he held when he left the White House and took those records? He was president. It was an official act, right? So that case may get thrown out as well if the Supreme Court rules as it is expected to based on the oral arguments. And I suspect even that you may even get a Democrat or a leftist judge or two on the Supreme Court, a leftist justice, sign on to, in part to this theory or this vindication, as I say, of our constitutional structure, the separation of powers that protect the president. And we have a few clips from some of the argument the other day. We're going to post the full argument later. But you can listen with me here now. Let's go to that first clip.
What is plausible about the president assisting in creating a fraudulent slate of electoral candidates? Assuming you accept the facts of the complaint on their face, is that plausible that would be within his right to do?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We have the historical precedent we cite in the lower courts of President Grant sending federal troops to Louisiana and Mississippi in 1876 to make sure that the Republican electors got certified in those two cases, which delivered the election to Rutherford B. Hayes. The notion that it's completely implausible, I think, just can't be supported based on the face of this indictment or even
knowing that the slate is fake. Knowing that the slate is fake, that they weren't actually elected, that they weren't certified by the state. He knows all those things.
The indictment itself alleges, I dispute that characterization, the indictment affixes the word label to the so-called fraudulent electors. It affixes the word fraudulent, but that's a complete mischaracterization. On the face of the indictment, it appears that there was no deceit about who had emerged from the relevant state conventions, and this was being done as an alternative basis.
Well, that was leftist Justice Sotomayor, who was making these false allegations that there were fake electors and Trump knew. What the fight was about was having an alternative slate of electors available in states where he was disputing the election, which is, of course, what Democrats did in Hawaii in 1960. Nothing unusual about it at all. And advocating for that legal position as president of the United States is, as his lawyer for the president there, is presidential. I mean, the left likes to believe, and what I thought was interesting, and I highlighted this in a tweet, that, and they kind of admitted this in the case, it's all about getting Trump. It's all about getting Trump. Let's go to this tweet I had about the Biden DOJ lawyer, who was the solicitor representing the Jack Smith and the Biden regime. And he admitted to the Supreme Court that their witch hunt is all about, now did he say it was a witch hunt? Did he admit it the way I'm discussing it and he admitted? No, but this is what, in effect, he admitted, that it's all about getting Trump. And he suggested that no president has previously committed a prosecutable crime in office. That's why no previous president has been convicted or prosecuted. Only Trump. And then afterwards, they're like, well, what about in the future? Oh, no, that will never happen. That will never happen. The Justice Department will advise presidents. An attorney general will just tell a president, you can't do something. And if they have the blessing one way or another, that's enough to protect a president from being prosecuted. I mean, back with Obama? I mean, I think we had this issue of Obama. How does Obama get away with it? Biden regime, the Supreme Court today, Obama assassination of an American is perfectly legal and could never be prosecuted, but Trump disputing an election is obviously illegal and must be prosecuted. And I did a watch video for Instagram listening to the president's lawyer make that point.
The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies? The answer to all these questions is no. Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure.
Yeah, one of the justices followed up with this. I don't know if it was earlier or later in the discussion here. Let's run that video of the Supreme Court justice talking about this drone strike issue with Obama.
How about President Obama's drone strikes?
So the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very carefully and determined that, number one, the federal murder statute does apply to the executive branch. The president wasn't personally carrying out the strike, but the aiding and abetting laws are broad. And it determined that a public authority exception that's built into statutes and that applied particularly to the murder statute because it talks about unlawful killing did not apply to the drone strike. So this is actually the way that the system should function. The Department of Justice takes criminal law very seriously. It runs it through the analysis very carefully with established principles. It documents them, it explains them, and then the president can go forward in accordance with it. And there is no risk of prosecution for that course of activity.
Well, don't you love the insane circular logic? The Justice Department blessed the drone strike, so therefore no president could be prosecuted, nor is Obama could it possibly be prosecuted. I mean, the logic or the illogic is inescapable. I mean, I think Chief Justice Roberts, like, really slammed the appellate court full of recent Democrat appointees, Obama, Biden, I think, who just pretended there was no immunity for anything a president did it officially, it looks like. And Roberts said, well, this is crazy town. He didn't say crazy town. I'd say crazy town. He said that, the lower court said that a president can be prosecuted because the Justice Department is prosecuting him. That's the sophistication of the argument. And, of course, Roberts rejects that. And there was a further discussion on a related issue a little bit later. Let's run that video.
Did I understand you to say, well, you know, if he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. He's subject to the criminal laws just like anybody else. You don't think he's in a special, a peculiarly precarious position?
He's in a special position for a number of reasons. One is that he has access to legal advice about everything that he does. He's under a constitutional obligation to, he's supposed to be faithful to the laws of the United States and the Constitution of the United States. And making a mistake is not what lands you in a criminal prosecution. There's been some talk about the statutes that are issue in this case. I think they are fairly described as malum in se statutes, engaging in conspiracies to defraud the United States with respect to one of the most important functions, namely the certification of the next president.
Well, I don't want to dispute the particular application of 371, conspiracy to defraud the United States, to the particular facts here, but would you not agree that that is a peculiarly open-ended statutory prohibition in that that fraud under that provision, unlike under most other fraud provisions, does not have to do, doesn't require any impairment of a property interest?
It's designed to protect the functions of the United States government, and it's difficult to think of a more critical function than the certification of who won the election.
Yeah, I'm not discussing the particular facts of this case, but it applies to any fraud that interferes seriously with any government operation, right?
So what the government needs to show is an intent to impede, interfere, or defeat a lawful government function by deception, and it has to be done with scienter. These are not the kinds of activities that I think any of us would think a president needs to engage in order to fulfill his Article II duties, and particularly in a case like this.
Well, you notice that Justice Alito, who was questioning Dravine, the Justice Department lawyer, wasn't biting. Dravine's argument, the lawyer's argument was, but Trump, but Trump, but Trump, but Trump. and that what Trump is alleged to have done, you know, means that all the normal constitutional provisions related to managing a president and his authorities under the Constitution should be thrown out. Why is murdering an American citizen any less important than the transition of power? Which is what Obama did. He killed an American citizen without due process because he was a terrorist abroad. Or spending billions of dollars that he's not authorized to spend, like Biden has repeatedly done, Supreme Court has found him to have done. Isn't that important too? It depends on whose ox is being gored, right? And they want to get Trump, and they're making up new rules to get him. And the Supreme Court, thankfully, isn't having it. And hopefully the genius of our Constitution, which allows the Supreme Court to make decisions related to the constitutionality of such activities, you know, may protect Biden to protect Trump to a certain extent. And yes, protect Biden in the long run. What's to stop Biden from being prosecuted now? Why can't a state attorney general seek to prosecute Biden? I don't see, under their theory of the case or the law, how the Biden DOJ could even object to that. Well, being lawyers, they'll pretend there's all sorts of reasons to object to it, and it's different. It's always different when it comes to Trump. So I think Trump's going to win here, by all accounts, you know, if you're counting votes based on the oral argument. And as I said earlier, I think there'll even be a few, maybe even a leftist justice or two signs on to part of the case or part of the opinion protecting the president's prerogatives here. Should these lawyers and the Biden people be prosecuted for pursuing these cases against Trump? Well, by their logic, yes. They're losing the case. Trump lost these election cases. That's why they had no merit, and that's why he should be prosecuted. That's literally their argument. And, you know, we hear them trying to defend why only Trump should be prosecuted and will be prosecuted. Last week we heard at the Supreme Court them saying how they, we would only prosecute January Sixers, but we'll never prosecute leftists. And this is why we never have and probably never will, for similar conduct. I mean, the left wants to use the powers of government to reward their friends and punish their enemies. It's the Obama way, and they're doing it and admitting to it effectively before the Supreme Court time and time again. And that's why these oral arguments are important. You know, and speaking of treating protesters equally, have you been watching the news? Have you been watching the revolution on the news? The communists are revolting, trying to destroy and take over college campuses, targeting Jews, Jewish American citizens, or people who look like Jews. And of course, they're communists, so they want to kill everybody. And they're using this dispute in Gaza, the war in Gaza, as a pretext to advance their violent anti-American revolution. And we've got some video showing what's happening on the campuses and how it's targeting police and other innocents in dramatic ways. Let's run a few of these video clips. And
free our prisoners, free them all.
Free our prisoners, free them all.
Give you like
fucking kidnapping someone.
Fuck you, pigs.
That's illegal. You can't do that. That's illegal. You
They're breaking the law. They're breaking the law.
All right, let's come back. So, I mean, you see what's happening. Obviously, a national coordinated movement to attack America, attack Israel, promote terrorism, and engage in a violent revolution. And I did a little thought experiment. You know, you remember, well, you know, I was an English major, and so I remember all these assignments. When you had to write an essay, a compare and contrast essay, so this is what I put out on Twitter, a compare and contrast. Let's put that tweet up. I guess we don't have it. There it is. Compare and contrast the Biden regime DOC Borg response to the left's weeks-long national and violent attacks on Jews and others on college campuses to, quote, January 6th, exclamation point. So at least nationally, they've arrested at least 500 folks. Where are the feds? Did they get their bank records that they started arresting grandmothers supporting this? Who is supporting this? George Soros? Who else is supporting it? The media is supporting it. Let's go to, I don't know if we pulled up that Washington Post story, but this is a typical typical defense of communist violent revolution. This is in the front page of the website of the Washington Post. Look at that. Now that wasn't the story. Go back to the front of the website. WashingtonPost.com. I can't see this far away. Well, anyway. I don't know why we can't just get the front page of the Washington Post. There you go. How Columbia students sparked a nationwide revolt. What's that first paragraph say? The protests over war in Gaza are the culmination of months of activism and covert planning. Social media and smartphones have supercharged the growing revolt. There you got the Washington Post promoting communist revolutionary activity on college campuses. How wonderful it is they use smartphones and planning to engage in this activism. Compare and contrast that type of reporting to how they're talking about disputing a presidential election. It depends on who's doing the First Amendment-related activity. I would argue this isn't First Amendment activity, as it's inherently violent what they're doing and discriminatory, and the college is allowing it to take place. They need to be held accountable because they're supposed to provide an environment that protects the civil rights of their students. And it ain't happening. So they're trying to jail a president. The Banana Republic wants to put the president in jail. And unsurprisingly, imagine. Wait, in 2020, do you remember violent protests in 2020 using George Floyd as a pretext? I do. Oh, look, more violent protests in another election year using another event as a pretext, in this case, the war in Israel. It isn't about the war in Israel. That's a cover for an effort to remake and redo, as you say, as they say, a revolt. It's an uprising. Is that sedition? Is that seditious conspiracy? Methinks yes. But of course, this Biden administration, they're allies with them, and they're not going to do anything about this. Heck, Biden supporting Hamas. What do you think? In response to the political pressure from these violent communists that he's hoping to vote for, that will vote for him in the election. Wait, is that a crime too? For a president to support a terrorist group? For the political benefits of the election? Wait, according to the rules for Trump, that's a crime too. So we're gonna monitor that situation, investigate what's behind this through the records requests that we're able to pursue at the federal level and with universities, especially public universities. We've seen this game before from the left. So we've got some significant court activity recently as Congress kind of pulls back. Judicial Watch steps forward for accountability. Now, the transcript of Joe Biden's interview with Special Counsel Herr has been released, I think in part due to our lawsuit requesting its release. But it was released to Congress, and Special Counsel Herr testified about it. Now, you may recall, he concluded that even though Biden committed the crime, by his estimation, he didn't think he could get a conviction because of his memory loss, his evident dementia. And so the Biden people pushed back significantly on that, and the transcript shows what it shows. But there, it looks like are audio recordings, at least, of that interview with Biden, and that hasn't been released. And we had sued for all the records, and the Justice Department's been stonewalling us. And this past week, they sought to stonewall us even more. We had filed the lawsuit, this is the Lauren press release, excuse me. We had filed the lawsuit back in, I guess it was, when did we file it? It was on March 11th, so it was last month. Filed our lawsuit against the Justice Department here in D.C. for the special counselor interview documents. Simple. And that would require recordings to be released. Now, the redacted transcript was released on April 15th. By way of background, on February 5th, 2024, the special counsel issued the report on the special counsel on investigation into unauthorized removal, retention, and disclosure of classified documents discovered at locations including the Penn Biden Center and Delaware private residences of President Joseph R. Biden Jr. In the report, Herr called Biden a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory and declined to charge him with a serious felony. We have also considered, this is a quote, that at trial, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury, as he did during our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. Based on our direct interactions with and observations of him, he is someone for whom many jurors will want to identify a reasonable doubt. It would be difficult to convince a jury that they should convict him by then a former president well into his 80s of a serious felony that requires a mental state of willfulness. So that's presuming that they can't prosecute him while he's in office, an arguable point given the fact the Justice Department thinks no president has immunity from prosecution after he leaves office. By that logic, I don't know why he wouldn't be immune while he's in office. And then the White House pushed back on that. The Biden regime said that the report's treatment of President Biden's memory was wrong, and added there is ample evidence that from your interview that the president did well in answering your questions. So one way to settle this issue and increase the public's understanding on what the president's state, cognitive state is to release the audio. And so, based on our case and the scheduling of our case, they effectively were supposed to tell us by next week. And they went to the court, and two other organizations had filed separate lawsuits in a different court. And they said, oh, we want to bring those lawsuits in here and get more time for responding to or telling Judicial Watch and the court and the American people when or if we're going to release this audio. They wanted another month. They wanted to wait until Memorial Day to do it. As we said, this case could not be any more straightforward, and the Justice Department cannot and does not provide any substantive reasons why an extension of time is necessary at this time. Judicial Watch, along with other media organizations, as well as congressional committees, has sought these materials to enable the public to form its own conclusions about the special counsel's characterizations of President Biden's testimony. The Biden Justice Department can alleviate any administrative burden by informing Judicial Watch and the court whether it intends to produce the recordings. If it produces the recordings, the case is over. So why do we need all this added complexity? As I said in our release, the Biden Justice Department, to be blunt, is trying to help Joe Biden politically by hiding the recordings of his special counsel interviews. The recordings of the Biden interview are essential to the public interest in obtaining information about any presidential misconduct, crimes, and cognitive challenges. I mean, that's putting it nicely. I mean, did you see this video of his speech the other day where he read the teleprompter in a weird way, like the pause, the famous pause video or infamous pause video? Let's run that.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years.
Four more years! No wonder they don't want the audio out, or they're stonewalling the release of the audio. No wonder. So hopefully by our next update, or maybe I'll tell you before then, we'll get an answer as to whether they're going to release the audio. Now, they sent a letter to Congress the other day suggesting they don't want to release it to Congress, or telling Congress they're not going to release it to Congress. But that's different than telling a court and having it help be held up in court. But they want to hide this audio from us. How do I know that? Because they were seeking an unusual amount of time to basically tell us. Because they could come up with legal reasons to withhold it from us. I don't think they'd be meritorious. But it's obviously a political decision at this point. So the court said, nope, you got to figure it out by next week, more or less. And so a nice little victory for Judicial Watch. It's a little victory. But, you know, you take what you can get. They're stonewalling the release of the Biden audio of his interview with Special Counsel Herr. And the court said, no more stonewalling. You've got to, you know, come to a decision and let me know. So I'll get back to you next week as to how this works out. Who knows? Of course, next week they could say, oh, we need more time to decide. So if there's a way to stall, they'll try to do it, but we'll see what happens. So the corruption against Trump was so, I don't know, Never has so many resources been used by the federal government to abuse and target one man, as has happened with President Trump. And we see this most recently with the Energy Department. Yes, the Energy Department. There isn't an agency of government that hasn't been targeting Trump and abusing Trump. Now, you may wonder, why is the Energy Department important to this? Because there's a special security clearance that Trump had related to the Energy Department that they messed with in order to try to rig a criminal prosecution against them. The criminal prosecution is being pursued now in Miami over document retention. We filed a Freedom of Information lawsuit against the Department of Energy for records about the retroactive termination. A retroactive termination. You may have thought you had security clearance, Mr. President, but we're retroactively saying you didn't at the time, and therefore we're going to put you in jail for having documents. That's kind of what's going on here. retroactive termination of Trump's security clearance and access to classified information. In the lawsuit, Judicial Watch cites Trump's January 12, 2024 motion to compel discovery in his criminal prosecution down in Florida, in which the former president asserts the Energy Department attempted to terminate his security clearance retroactively after his June 2023 indictment. Excuse me, his June 2023 indictment. I'm doing a Biden there. Judicial Watch filed the lawsuit after the department failed to comply with a simple request for its records and communications concerning retroactively terminating Trump's security clearance. We point to this response to Trump's lawsuit in which Smith, Jack Smith, the special counsel, the Biden regime operative, acknowledges the existence of a June 2023 memorandum prepared by an Energy Department official regarding the security clearance. So we know there's a document. The special counsel office describes the memorandum's contents and asserts that it had produced the records to Trump. Smith also acknowledges suggesting and receiving additional responsive records from the Department of Energy, including approximately 30 pages of records and 8 emails. Smith asserts that he was now producing 30 pages to Trump and withholding the 8 emails. And it looks like some of that material may have been released by Judge Cannon the other day. I haven't been able to kind of put it all together internally here yet. And so I'm not saying that Smith is hiding this from us, but it looks like he's hiding it or was, it's much of it isn't public or some of it isn't public. But it highlights that we know the Energy Department has records. So there isn't a question about them being not being records. In fact, they've got a set of records they gave to Jack Smith. Why can't they give them to Judicial Watch? And if they can't give them to Judicial Watch, they should be forthcoming as to why. That's what the process is about. It shouldn't require a federal lawsuit to get 30 records or so. But that's what the Biden administration wants us to go through because they don't want people to know the full abuse of their the full nature of their abuse of Trump. Trump's lawyers suggest in that motion to compel that Trump had a high-level security clearance as recently as 2023. Which obviously raises questions about the whether him having allegedly classified records, and I don't think they were classified, by the way, because he had them in his personal possession, and they were inherently unclassified as a result. But certainly mitigates their alleged concern about the mishandling of classified records because he had security clearance in the least. Lawyers for Trump, excuse me. My Diet Dr. Pepper. That isn't a commercial. We don't get no money from, we don't get any money from Dr. Pepper. I don't know who owns Dr. Pepper. Is that Coke or Pepsi? My colleagues in the back know. Coke? We're looking it up. We could probably tell you more about security clearances than whether Dr. Pepper is owned by Coke or Pepsi. Forgive me for getting distracted, but it's been quite an update. Lawyers for Trump say a government document from June 2023 still listed him with a Q clearance from the Department of Energy. There I said it. I said Q. So I'm sure that's going to trigger all sorts of negative algorithms suppressing the content of this video because we're not allowed to use that letter in talking about public policy. And I'm not one of these Q people, but I'm just pointing that out. The document was dated a few weeks ago after prosecutors indicted Trump in the classified documents case. A Q clearance refers to a type of security clearance handled by the Department of Energy, which holds classified information focused largely on nuclear secrets. So that's why the Energy Department had these records. And as I say in our press release, it looks like the Department of Energy has tried to manufacture a criminal case. What are they hiding? In my experience, especially in political cases like this, sensitive cases like this, You know, sometimes you don't get FOIA documents. It's because the government's so darn slow. And it could be, you know, give us the number of chickens crossing the road. And, you know, they just can't get to it because they've got too many requests and all sorts of other legitimate excuses. In this case, there's no legitimate excuse. It's political. And this is one of many cases we have over the abuse of Trump. We have cases against National Archives. We're suing Jack Smith for the names of top people working for him. They don't want us to know who's prosecuting Trump. Talk about Star Chamber proceedings. Secret prosecutors? As I've observed before, they could hire Michelle Obama, and under their theory of the case or the law, they shouldn't have to tell us that. Now, I'm not saying Michelle Obama is prosecuting Trump. But we don't know who is. We know some public names, but we don't have them all. So many other pieces of litigation over this abuse of Trump. So this is an important one. And, you know, and I kind of observe, make the following observation. What you're seeing in New York with the trial of Trump, what you're seeing with Jack Smith and his prosecutions of Trump and what the Energy Department's doing and the targeting of Trump, you're not seeing misconduct by Trump. What you're seeing is a crime in progress by the Biden regime and their Democratic allies in New York and Fulton County, et cetera. Those prosecutions aren't about misconduct by Trump. They're demonstrations of criminal conduct, in my view, abuse of power by the Biden regime and their Democratic allies. So that's the way to think about this. Now, Trump may be a victim of that criminal conduct in the end by losing his freedom or having the election interfered with. We're all victims in one way or the other because they're interfering in our elections. So, Congress, you can give up on impeachment. You know, you can do nothing for the next 6 months because we've got it covered, however outrageously. We're willing to do it on our own. Judicial Watch is. Thanks to your support, dear viewer and dear listener. And if you like the type of work we're doing here at Judicial Watch, if you think it's important there be independent investigations beyond Congress and the media into what's going on here in Washington, D.C. on whatever issue you care about, then support our work at judicialwatch.org, judicialwatch1word.org. And with that, I'll see you here next time on the Judicial Watch Weekly Update.
Thanks for listening to the Judicial Watch Weekly Update with Tom Fitton. For more information, visit www.judicialwatch.org, because no one is above the law.